那么因此呢，他将会向我们介绍帕帕的房间以及他在服务帕帕期间做的一些服务。
Hare Krishna. So, welcome to everybody from China. I was in China myself in 1998, just briefly for a few days.
那么我自己曾经的去过中国是在1998年的时间，只是几天的时间。
Yeah, I think I went to Guangzhou.
我想我去的是广州。
Yeah. Is there anybody here that has been to Vrindavan previously?
那么在座的是否有人曾经来过 Vrindavan 呢？
Okay, a few. That's good. I think a couple of years ago I took a tour around. Yeah, previously.
那么我记得在几年前呢，我也是带过这样一对奉献者在周围走了一下。
Yeah. Okay. So, you're sitting in Prabhupada's Transcendental Vrindavan Quarters.
那么你们现在坐在宣帕帕的超然的 Vrindavan 的这样一个房间。
This Krishna Balaram Mandir was officially opened on Ram Navami, that's the appearance day of Lord Ram, in 1975.
那么这个 Krishna Balaram Mandir 它是在Rama 主 Rama 显现日是开始的，那么是在1975年的时候。
Yeah, previous to establishing the temple here, of course, Prabhupada had his headquarters downtown Vrindavan, the Radhadamada Mandir.
那么当然在宣帕帕开始这个庙宇之前，宣帕帕是在在 Vrindavan 的 Damodara 庙宇当中是开始了这项运动。
Yeah, he got those.
那是他的总部。
Yeah, so those two rooms that Prabhupada had in the Radhadamada Mandir, he was offered those rooms around about 1959, 1960.
那么因此宣帕帕是在1959年到1960年的时候，他在那里在 Radhadamodara 那个庙宇呢有两个房间。
Yeah, and previous to moving into the Radhadamada Mandir, Prabhupada was staying in a small temple just off Kasigat.
那么在住到 Radhadamodara 庙宇之前呢，宣帕帕住在 Kasigat 的一个庙宇当中。
That was called the Vamsi Gopal Temple.
那个庙宇叫做 Vamsi Gopal 庙。
Yeah, and previous to that, of course, Prabhupada actually came to live in Vrindavan around about
1955-1956.
But he didn't come here to retire. Yeah, he retired from his material, so-called material activities.
那么他是从他的所谓的物质的活动当中退隐下来。
Yeah, and he took up preaching Krishna consciousness as his full-time occupation.
那么他把完全的从事Krishna 知觉的活动呢作为他的全职的工作。
He had an organization called the League of Devotees.
The League of Devotees.
League of Devotees.
那么他是有这样一群奉献者。
Yeah, and one time when we were here in Vrindavan in 1976.
那么1976年的时候呢，有一次我们是在 Vrindavan 有这样的事情发生。
I came across a small booklet which had the name of the organization, the League of Devotees, printed on the front.
那么他看到有一个小册子。那么在这个有上面的有一群奉献者是在这个小册子上面题目。那么这是。那么在伊斯兰正式成立之前呢，有这样就是有这样一个小册子，是一群奉献者他们自己做的小册子。
这个小册子的 title 是
A
个 devotee。
这个小册子的名字叫《一群奉献者》。
就是他的一个团队当中就是用一群人的名字，就是整个团队名字叫 League of Devotees。
Alright, and then mid-1950s, Prabhupada was living in a place called Jhansi. Jhansi. So, at that place, he had started this League of Devotees.
那么在那个地方呢，他开始做，就是说开始了这样一个奉献者团体。
Then he came to live in Vrindavan.
那么然后呢，他就开始居住在Vrindavan.
So, 20 years later, in 1976, I was sitting with him here in this room.
然后呢，二十年之后，在1976年的时候呢，那么我和Shri Prabhupada是坐在这个房间里面。
And I had this little booklet, League of Devotees.
那么我就有这样一个小的册子，就叫做奉献者团体。
So I think actually it was the 10th anniversary of Prabhupada's arrival in America. 11th anniversary.
11th
anniversary.
Yeah.
America, yeah. So I was wondering, who was this League of Devotees? So I asked Srila Prabhupada. So he kind of laughed and he said, well, that was me. Yeah. He was trying to do something, but somehow or another, in India, he couldn't get anything going. Yeah. And then, of course, he went to America, and within a year or so, ISKCON was started.
那么然后呢，薛发发在一年之内呢，然后他就去了美国，然后呢就ISKCON就在那里开始了。
And within 10 years, he had an international society with 108 temples all around the world.
那么在十年之内，薛发发，使这个ISKCON在全世界有108个庙宇。
Yeah, so something amazing, from a lifetime of struggle, then within 10 years, everything.
只是在前面的时期呢，是一个非常挣扎的时期，但是在这之后，在十年当中，一下子一切的事情都发生了。And
I had heard that when Prabhupada was living in the Radha-Damodar Mandir,
那么我曾经听说，当Shri Prabhupada居住在Radha-Damodar Mandir的时候，
that Srila Rupa Goswami had appeared to him and given him some instructions or some encouragement for his future preaching around the world. So, again, when we were here in Vrindavan in 1976, this was in September, I asked Srila Prabhupada about that meeting.
在1976年9月份的时候呢，我在还是在Vrindavan的这里，那么我就问了Shri
And Prabhupada, of course, it's an intimate thing, and I was a little unsure about asking about it. It was an intimate thing, so I was unsure about asking about it.
那么就是我就询问了关于这个。
But still, anyway, I was very curious about how Srila Prabhupada had, you know, what exchange that he had had with Rupa Goswami. So, when I asked him, Prabhupada was immediately, he didn't want to talk about it. And he just said, oh, everybody knows that. So at least he confirmed that there was in fact some appearance, some exchange that he had with Srila Rupa Goswami. So the point is that the Krishna consciousness movement, in one sense, was initiated from Vrindavan. Yeah, or at least Prabhupada got his main source of inspiration from that period when he was in the Radha Damodar temple. And he had begun there to seriously write books, translate the Bhagavatam into English. And as soon as he had the first canto, done in three parts, immediately afterwards he got the opportunity to go to America. Yeah, so now coming back to Vrindavan, then Prabhupada got this land. And built a place so that all of his devotees from around the world could come and have the experience of Vrindavan Dham. And Prabhupada always stressed that being in Vrindavan means we have to be here in the mood of Rupa Goswami. He and the other Goswamis, they gave up all their material attachments and they came to live in Vrindavan to be absorbed in Krishna Seva. And it was from this room where Prabhupada eventually departed from this material realm as well. Yeah. When the temple was opened in 1975, of course, this bed was not here in this room. Yeah. And actually, Prabhupada's quarters, when you come in the entrance there, that was not enclosed, that was an open veranda at the beginning. This small entrance. The entrance, yeah. Yeah, and then this first small room that you can see at the back here, there was no doorway going into the big room next door. That was a solid wall. In those days, that room next door was actually the bank. So this first small room, that was the secretary's room. Yeah, there was a low desk and a seat, and then any visitors that wanted to see Prabhupada, they had to report to the secretary. She should. Yeah, don't lean on Prabhupada's bed. Yeah, if she's not feeling well, she should go outside and get some fresh air. Alright. So, the secretary would sit there, and then this room was Prabhupada's main darshan room. And the floor was covered with like a thin cotton mattresses covered with white sheets.
这个房间的整个地上呢都会覆盖着这样的垫子，然后呢上面是白色的床单。
Yeah, that's the Indian system. Then you just change the sheets every day. Everything's very clean.
这就是印度的这样一个传统，就是说你只要每天换这个上面的单子就可以了，一切都很干净。
And in the afternoons, Prabhupada would have a darshan as he's giving you all a darshan right now.
那么，然后每天下午呢，释迦牟尼会给大家 darshan， 就好像今天下午他给我们大家 darshan 一样。
Yeah, he would sit here. From about 4 until 6 or 4:30 till 6.
那么他会坐在这里，一般的是从4点或者4:30到6点。
Anybody could come in and sit down and then ask questions or hear him talk.
那么任何人都可以都可以进来，然后呢可以询问或者说可以和他交流。
And Prabhupada also in the afternoons, he liked to about 5:30, 6 o'clock time go into the temple.
那么
And he would sit in the courtyard of the temple.
那么他会坐在庙宇的这个角落当角落的院子里。
Yeah, underneath the tamal tree.
那么是坐在这个 tamal 树下。
Because that tree that's there now is not the original tamal tree.
那么当然现在我们看到的这个 tamal 树呢，不是原来那棵。
Yeah, when they built the temple, there was the one.Tamal tree that was there, they were going to cut it down.
那么当他们在建这个庙宇的时候呢，有在那里有一棵 tamal 树，那么他们准备把它砍倒。
But when Prabhupada heard that, he stopped them.
当说Prabhupada听到这个事的时候呢，他阻止了。
Because actually the tamal tree is not so widespread now in Vrindavan, it's quite rare.
那么因为tamal 树在 Vrindavan 呢不是那么普遍了，已经很稀少了。
Yeah, so Prabhupada said, build a temple around the tree.
因此呢，庞派说把这个庙宇呢，建在这个树旁边。
And at that time, that tree was kind of scrawny and small and not very well.
那么当时呢，这棵树呢，长得不那么好。
Yeah, but then later on, after the opening of the temple, it grew very big.
但是呢，当这个庙宇建成之后呢，它逐渐的长得越来越茁壮。
And Prabhupada said that was because it was being protected.
Prabhupada 说，这是因为呢，这棵树被保护了。
Anyway, after about 25 years, somehow or another, because of too much water going down from cleaning the temple, the roots became rotten and the tree died.
但是呢，二十五年之后呢，因为我们清洗庙宇这个水，地下的水太多了，所以呢，这个它的根部吸收了太多的水，结果这棵树呢就死掉了。
So the devotees took a seedling of another tamal tree and put it in its place.
那么因此呢，奉献者就从其他的 tamal 树那边拿了一颗种子，然后呢重新长。
Now you can see that tree is growing very nicely.
那么因此呢，你们现在可以看到那棵 tamal 树长得非常好。
So anyway, when Prabhupada was here, he used to go and sit underneath the tamal tree in the evening.
那么因此呢，在黄昏的时候呢，释迦牟尼通常会坐在那棵 tamal 树下。
And devotees would gather around, and all the visitors would sit around on the courtyard steps.
那么奉献者呢会在坐在周围，然后呢，还有那些客人们呢都会坐在台阶旁边。
And he would stay there probably about an hour or so up until the beginning of the evening arati.
那么他大概会在那里坐大概半个小时，直到晚上的 arati 开始。
Then he would come back here, and he would like to go out into the back garden, which we'll see in a minute, and he would sit there and chant japa.
然后呢，他会回来，在后面他会去在后面的小花园待几分钟，然后就开始念诵。
Yeah, or sometimes he would discuss managerial affairs with the local managers.
或者呢，有时候他会和当地的那些管理负责人呢讨论一些管理上的问题。
So I'll give you an idea of Prabhupada's daily routine.
因此呢，我现在就给你们介绍了 Prabhupada 一天当中的活动。
We'll start from the morning, but you have to understand that Prabhupada's day.And night, there was no beginning or end.
那么我们可以从从早上开始，但是我们要知道，对于释迦牟尼来说是没有，就是说是没有白天和黑夜，没有开始和结束的。
Yeah, it's not because our day, we begin at a certain point, we end at a certain point, we sleep, you know, for 6 or 8 hours. But Prabhupada didn't do that.
对于我们来说，可能我们从哪一点开始，然后哪一点结束，然后就开始睡觉了。但是对释迦牟尼佛来说，他的安排不是这样的。
Yeah. So we'll start early in the morning, about 5 a.m.
那么我们就从早上五点钟开始。
Prabhupada would stop working on his Bhagavatam.
那么然后帕帕呢就会停止他对国家瓦坛的工作。
Then he would go in the bathroom, wash his face, do his ablutions, come back.
那么他就会去洗手间，然后去做一些清洁，刷牙和洗脸。
Yeah. Then he would put on his tilak and chant his morning Gayatri.
那么他就会涂上提拉克，然后念清晨的 Gayatri。
And sometimes he was taking an Ayurvedic medicine called Yogendra Ras.
那么有时候呢，他会吃一种阿育吠陀的药，叫 Yogendra Ras.
Yogendra Ras.
Yogendra Ras.
Yes. As far as I know, Yogendra Ras is like brain food.
那么据我所知呢 ，Yogendra Ras 这个药呢是对大脑非常有好处。
So we would, whilst Prabhupada was in the bathroom, we would crush up one large cardamom seed.
那么当帕帕在洗手间的时候呢，我们会磨卡达门的籽。
And then mix the Yogendra Ras, it's a small pill, crush that with the.
那么然后呢，就把Yogendra Ras 这个药和那个卡达门的籽呢混在一起。
And then mix that with a little honey.
然后呢，再把它们和蜂蜜混在一起。
And then when Prabhupada came back in, he would take that medicine.
那么然后当帕帕回来的时候，他就会吃这种药。
So then after doing his Gayatri Mantra, then just on dawn.
那么当帕结束了他念诵他的 Gayatri 曼陀罗的时候呢，那么就基本上是黎明的时候。是太阳升起的时候。
Then Prabhupada would head out the door. We would go out up onto the front road.
那么 Prabhupada 就会走出这个房间，我们会去前面的这条路上。
Then he would walk for a half an hour, and then turn around and come back.
那么他会往前进，只走半个小时，然后呢再走回来。
So and again in those days, this end of Vrindavan was completely deserted.
那么当然在当时这个当时的时候呢，这里的一片Vrindavan这一片地方呢是完全荒芜的。
Very few people came down this end of Vrindavan.
那么很少的人会到这个地方来。
But when you went out from our gate towards the Delhi Mathura Road.
那么从我们的这个门到德里马图拉这个路。
Yeah, there was no buildings practically, just a couple of old ashrams and nothing but fields.
那么几乎没有什么建筑物，只有几个 ashram， 基本上没有什么东西，完全是那个田野来的。
And then there was one house, about half an hour out, walking. It was called Moda Place.
那么有一个房子从这里走呢要走半个小时，叫 Moda.
Moda Place.
Moda Place.
Yeah, which is just somebody's residential place.
也就是一些别人的自己的居住地。
So we would walk as far as that and then turn around and come back.
那么我们就会走到那个地方，然后再回来。
Yeah, the house is still there. If you walk out, there's one big hotel and housing complex called Nandanvan.And just the other side of Nandanvan, that's that place.
那么在 Nandanvan 对面呢，就是那个原来的这个房子。
Yeah. Now, of course, everything is built up all over the place.
当然，当今现在呢，已经有很多的建筑物都建造起来了。
And that's all because of Prabhupada.
那么这都是由因为 Prabhupada 建造。
Yeah. From being a place that nobody would come to, at night time especially.
那么从原先的这样一个没有人会来的地方，尤其在晚上是没有任何人会来的。
Yeah, Krishna Balaram Mandir is now, they say, the second most popular temple in Vrindavan.
那么现在呢Krishna Balaram Mandir 成了在 Vrindavan 的第二个最著名最流行的地方。
Bunky Bihari is number one.
那么 Bunky Bihari 呢是第一名。
Anyway, so Prabhupada would go for his walk, come back, and then he would go straight into the temple.
那么当宣浩帕清晨出去散步回来的时候，他会径直走进庙宇。
Then he would greet the deities.
那么他觐见神像。
Then he would go to the Vyasasam. We would offer him Guru Puja.
那么他会坐到 Vyasas 坐上，然后呢，我们就向他供奉 Vyasa Puja.
And then after that.
Guru Puja.
Guru Puja. Then after that, then of course he would give Bhagavatam class.
那么在这之后呢，他就给国家瓦坛的讲课。
And wherever Prabhupada went, unless he was really seriously ill, he would always give the Bhagavatam class every day.
那么不管在什么情况下，除非薛帕帕是非常非常严重的生病了，那么他都会每天给圣典国家瓦坛讲课。
I think Prabhupada was the most regulated person I ever met.
那么我想薛帕帕是我有史以来碰到过的最有规律的人。
Even when we were traveling around the world, he would keep exactly the same routine every day.
So, 即便呢，我们在全世界旅行的时候呢，他仍然会就是每天按照每天的规律来行事。
He seemed like he was immune to jet lag.
好像是他没有那种时差的问题。
Yeah, anyway, we're in Vrindavan. So then after Bhagavatam class, he would come back to his quarters here.
那么在他完成国家瓦坛讲课之后呢，他再回来。
And whilst he was speaking, the cooks were making his breakfast.
那么 while he's speaking.
While he was in the temple, the cooks were making his breakfast.
那么当他在庙宇的时候呢，那个厨房的厨师呢，他会为他做早餐。
And he would come back in here, and then on this side here, you can see this room. That's the prasadam room.
那么，你们会看到呢，在这里呢，有这个房间呢，是舍帕帕荣耀普沙冷的房间。
Yeah, so Papa would sit there for about half an hour for prasadam breakfast. He would have oh.
那么，所以呢，舍帕帕会坐在这个房间，会荣耀早餐。
He would have mainly cut fruit.
那么早上呢，他通常会荣耀的是切垮的水果。
Yeah, sometimes some puffed rice.
那么有些时候呢是那个胀的米，胀的米饭。
Oh, sometimes he would have like a little something fried.
那么有时候他会有一些油炸的东西。
And a sweet, maybe sandesh, something like that.
那么然后呢会有一个甜品，比如说是 sandesh 或者其他的。
So Prabhupada liked to eat alone.
那么Prabhupada呢喜欢自己一个人荣耀。
With no distractions.
那么没有任何打扰。
And when Prabhupada ate, you could see that he was serving Krishna by eating.
那么当Prabhupada在吃的时候呢，你会感受到Prabhupada通过在荣耀这些prasadam来服务Krishna.
He would eat very carefully and very meditatively.
那么他会非常小心的荣耀，然后呢在处于这种非常冥想的状态。
Yeah, you could see he's not doing tongue saver.
那么你可以看到呢，他不是在服务他的舌头。
Yeah, he's doing Krishna saver.
他是在做 Krishna saver.
So then when he finished, then as he was, he would clean his teeth after he finished eating with a toothpick.
那么当他荣耀完普沙顿之后呢，然后他又刷牙。
And I remember the first time that I was staying here with Prabhupada, this was in early December 75.
那么我还记得当我第一次服务帕的时候呢，是1975年的12月初的时候。
I had just been added as the full-time servant at that time.
那么在那个时候呢，我只是刚刚开始是做一个全职的仆人。
So I came in to clear away Prabhupada's plate and to clean the table.
那么我就开始呢把就是拿走清洁薛帕帕的这个碗，然后呢再清洁他的桌子。
And Prabhupada was just cleaning his teeth with a toothpick.
那么薛帕帕他就用toothpick,
a little wooden stick.
他就用牙签的，然后再清洁他的牙齿。
So when he put the toothpick in, I saw his teeth go like this. His teeth were moving apart.
当我看到在他在那个用牙签的时候呢，他的牙齿啊会从会分开，他的牙齿会挪动。
I was very surprised.
但是我非常惊讶。
And Prabhupada just laughed.
但是Prabhupada 只是在那里笑。
Yeah, so actually at that time most of Prabhupada's teeth were kind of going bad.
那么 其实呢，在那个时期呢，帕帕的牙齿都开始变坏了。
Or at least they were all loose.
那么至少呢，他们都开始松了。
Because he was 80 years old at that time.
那么因为在那个时候呢，他已经是80岁了。
And his policy was that if he got toothache, he would just simply tolerate it.
那么，他的原则就是，如果他牙齿痛的话呢，他就容忍。
Later in 1976, in June, we were in Toronto.
那么在1976年的六月的时候呢，我们去了兰草。
And Prabhupada had a very severe toothache.
那么当时他有非常严重的牙齿痛。
Yeah, his face was visibly swollen.
那么他的脸呢，很明显的就是肿了。
But he didn't take any medicine.
但他没有吃任何的药。
And he didn't go to a dentist.
He
didn't go to a dentist.
他没有去找牙医。
Yeah, I asked him if he wanted to see a dentist. He just shook his head. He said no, because if they see, they'll want to take everything out.
我问他说，你是不是要去看牙医呢？他说，如果他去看牙医的话呢，他们会把他的牙齿全部拿走的。
So he just tolerated it. All he was doing was sucking on this one spice, a clove. You know what a clove is?Yeah.
那么，然后呢，他就会咬那个一种香料叫丁香。
And that was it. And he would sleep a little bit extra because of the problem.
那么这就是他所做的所有的事情。然后呢，就是他会可能多睡一会儿，因为他的这个牙齿痛的问题。
Later on, when we returned to India, that was on August 13th, 1976.
那么是在1976年的10月13号的时候，
10月8号
的时候 ，August 八月十三号的时候
，Yeah, we came back to Bombay.
那么我们回到孟买。
So on the morning of the 15th, I went into Prabhupada's room.
那么在15号的早上呢，我去到了 Prabhupada 的房间。
It's about 5 o'clock.
是在早上5点钟的时候。
And Prabhupada was sitting at his desk. He'd just finished working on the Bhagavatam.
那么 Prabhupada 就坐在他的书桌前面，然后刚刚完成国家晚团的工作。
And he smiled.
然后呢，他在微笑。
And when he smiled, he had a gap in his mouth that wasn't there the night before.
那么然后当他微笑的时候呢，我发现他的牙齿当中呢有一个空。有一个空的地方，然后呢，这是在前一天晚上是没有的。
So when I came in, I offered my obeisances.
因此，当我进来的时候呢，我就向爸爸顶拜。
And when I looked up, I saw this gap in his mouth.
然后呢，当我抬起头的时候呢，我就看到他牙齿当中的这样一个空隙。
So I was very surprised and shocked.
然后我非常惊讶，也很震惊。
So I said, Prabhupada, what happened to your tooth?
然后我就问他说 ，Prabhupada, 你的牙怎么了？
So he didn't say anything, he just pulled the drawer open of his desk. And in the desk drawer, there was his tooth was lying there. So then at that point, then I had a dilemma. Yeah, because I was thinking, wow, that's Prabhupada's tooth lying in the drawer. And I was thinking, now, if I had that tooth, then later on, when I'm not doing Prabhupada's personal service anymore, I can worship his tooth.
然后我就在想说，如果我能够拥有那颗牙的话呢，那以后当我没有办不能再服啪啪的时候呢，我就能够拥有这颗牙齿，然后崇拜这颗牙齿。
Yeah, and I was thinking of the story of Maharaj Prataparudra in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
那么我在想着 Chaitanya Charitamrita 当中，是 Maharaj
Prataparudra.
Prataparudra 的事。
Yeah, Maharaj Prataparudra had wanted the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
那么 Maharaj Prataparudra 他希望得到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的联谊。
But he was a king, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi.
但呢，因为他本人是一个国王，然后 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. Because he said if a sannyasi associates with the king, then his reputation will be ruined. Yeah, because a king is supposed to be a big, wealthy, powerful, material enjoyer. And a sannyasi, of course, has renounced all that. But Prataparudra Maharaj was a big devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So it was a dilemma. So the solution was that some cloth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given to Prataparudra Maharaj. And Prataparudra Maharaj was worshipping that cloth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that way it was understood that he was directly associating with Lord Chaitanya. So I was sitting in the room there and Prabhupada had this tooth lying in the drawer. And I was thinking about Maharaj Prataparudra. Yeah, but the problem was that we had a very strict rule. Yeah, that the servants of the guru never asked the guru for anything. You're there to render service, not to receive something. So I was thinking now, any second, Prabhupada's going to close the drawer of the desk. And that tooth is going to disappear, you know, into the bowels of the desk.
Yeah.
And then we'll leave Bombay and who knows what will happen to it. So I wanted to ask. But at the same time there was this rule, don't ask. Yeah, so then I thought, well, I'll take a risk. Yeah, so I asked Prabhupada, I said, well, do you think I could have that tooth? And Prabhupada smiled and he picked it up and he dropped it into my hand. And I have that tooth actually, I'm still worshipping it every day. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that Prabhupada's teeth were not in good condition. And somehow or another during the night on that occasion, that tooth had either fallen out or he pulled it out. And he put it in the drawer and went on with his work as if nothing had happened. Yeah, so Prabhupada was extremely tolerant. Yeah. So, breakfast time. After eating breakfast, he would go and wash his mouth out in the bathroom. Then he would come and sit for 20 minutes in the darshan room here. So that would be around 9 o'clock in the morning. And I remember one morning, just early December when I just joined Prabhupada's party.
记得在有一天早上，这是在十二月初的时候，当时是我刚刚加入这里。
And I was a new servant, Hansaduta Maharaj, or that Hansaduta, he had just come as Prabhupada's new secretary.
那么我是新手，然后呢 ，Hansaduta 他也是 Prabhupada 的新的秘书。
So Prabhupada had come, the sun was shining through these windows on the floor here.
那么然后呢，等 Prabhupada 坐在这里，然后呢，这个阳光呢，从这个窗口呢射进来。
And Prabhupada came and he just sat for a few minutes, just on the open floor.
那么然后呢，啪啪就会进来的，然后就坐在这个地上坐几分钟。
Me and Hansaduta, we came and sat with him.
然后 Hansaduta 和我呢就会和他坐在一起。
So Prabhupada just preached for a few minutes about the unfortunate condition of the world.
那么啪啪呢就会像我们就会传教，就是是那个在这个世界上的不幸，在全世界的不幸。Unfortunate.
And how people are being misled by demonic leaders.
那么然后呢，人们呢就被这些有恶魔般的领导呢所误导。
But he was saying how, you know, these leaders, they think that they're so powerful.
但是呢，这些领导却认为他们自己是如此的有力。
Yeah, but actually they're just being pushed along by the force of material nature.
但其实呢，他们只是被物质自然的这个力量呢所推动。
And he gave a very nice example.
那么他举了一个非常好的例子。
To explain what the real situation is.
那么来解释现实的状况。
So he said, when I was at school.
他说，当我在学校的时候。
If two boys were misbehaving.
那么如果两个男孩他们都做得不好，
then the teacher, they would call the boys out to the front.
然后呢，老师呢就会让那两个男孩呢叫到前面来。
Then the boys have to stand and face each other at arm's length. As stand and face each other.
Face each other.
Like this, yeah, like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, arm's length.
Oh, arm's length.
Arm's length.
Oh.Yeah, yeah. 然后这两个男孩他们必须在前面，然后呢面对面站着，然后呢这个举起他们的手臂是这样，
两个人的距离是
手臂的，两个人的距离是手臂的。
Yeah, then the teacher would order the boys to grab hold of each other's ears.
然后呢
like this.
然后老师呢会让那些男孩呢去扯他们的耳朵。
And then on the order of the teacher, they had to pull.
I won't do that.
Yeah? So each one would be pulling the other's ears. And he'd be crying because his own ears were being pulled and it was hurting. And because his ears were being pulled and it was hurting, he would pull harder on the other boy's ears. Yeah, but neither of them could stop until the teacher allowed them. So Prabhupada said, in this way, Krishna gets the demons, or Maya, she gets the demons together. Yeah, he gets one Churchill and one Hitler, and then pull. Hitler. Yeah, now pull. And they have to keep on pulling until Maya says, now stop. Yeah, so these big leaders, they think, oh, I'm doing this, I'm fighting this, I'm so powerful. But they're just actually working under the dictates of Maya, that's all. Yeah. So when Prabhupada was telling us this story, he was laughing like anything.
Yeah,
his teeth were flashing in the sunlight.
然后，他的 牙齿呢都在阳光的阳在就是说阳光的照耀下闪闪发光。
And I remember thinking it was so nice just sitting there, you know, informally with Prabhupada telling us this joke.
我总是想着，和舒帕帕在这样一种比较宽松的环境之下，和听帕帕在讲这些。
Yeah, that maybe that's what it's like to be in the forests of Vrindavan with Krishna.
那么可能这和在和 Krishna 在 Vrindavan 的森林当中和 Krishna 在一起。
Anyway, so then after sitting for a few minutes, Prabhupada would go, there's a bedroom in the back, but I think we won't be able to see that tonight because it's locked. But there's a bedroom in the back, and he would go and take rest for 1 hour.
那么在这之后呢，舒帕帕会去后面的一个卧室，那么在那里休息一个小时。但是今天呢，可能我没有办法进去，因为已经锁住了。
Yeah, and then after about an hour's rest,About 10 o'clock time, Prabhupada would again come and sit in the darshan room here.
那么在一个小时休息之后呢，大概十点钟的时候，Prabhupada会再回到这个darshan房间坐下。
And then generally he would deal with some managerial affairs.
那么通常情况下呢，他会讨论一些管理上的问题。
Or receive any appointments, any guests.
那么或者呢，他。接见一些客人或者预约的客人。
Then at 11:30, then I would come and I would have Prabhupada's gumsha and 2 bottles of oil.
那么然后呢，十一点半的时候呢，我会来到这里，我会带着gumsha和两瓶油。
And one bottle of oil was sandalwood oil.
那么一瓶油呢是檀香的油。
And the other bottle was mustard oil.
另外一瓶油呢是芥末籽油。
Then Prabhupada would stop what he was doing and we would go into the back garden.
那么然后呢，舒帕帕会停下手中做的事情，那么去这个后院。
And you'll see when we go in the garden at the back wall, there's one seat there, covered seat.
Seat. 你们会看到呢。
On the back wall.
在那个院子的后面的墙这边呢，有一个座位。
So.Prabhupada would sit on a straw mat just in front of that seat.
那么Prabhupada呢，他会坐在一个草垫，在那个椅子前面的草垫上。
And then for an hour and a half, I would give him a massage.
那么我会给他做按摩，大概是一个半小时。
Yeah, so we would start with his head with the sandalwood oil.
因此呢，我们会从他的头开始用檀香的油来做。
Sandalwood oil is very good.For the brain because it's got cooling properties.
因为呢，它这个油呢非常的好，因为它可以让这个头脑的清凉。
That's why also sandalwood paste we put on the forehead.
然后呢，我同样呢会把檀香浆液放在它的前额上。
Prabhupada said that to develop Krishna consciousness, you have to keep a cool brain.
舒帕帕说，你们要就是 Krishna 知觉要得到发展进步的话呢，你们要有一个冷静的头脑。
So sandalwood oil literally cools your brain down.
因此呢，檀香油呢，它可以让这个大脑清凉。
Then for the rest of his body, we would use mustard oil.
那么在身体的其他部分呢，我会用芥末籽油。
And after doing his head, Prabhupada would sit cross-legged. He didn't lie down for his massage.
情况下，舒帕帕是盘腿坐的。通常在按摩的时候，他不会躺下。
And to do his head, we would kneel in front of him and do it from the front.
那么，为了给他的头部按摩呢，我们会来到是前面正对着他，然后在他的前面给他按摩。
And I remember the first time that I gave Prabhupada a massage.
那么我仍然记得，当我第一次给舒帕帕做按摩。
That was in New Delhi, on November the 27th, 1975.
是在1975年的11月的27号。
Yeah, I had been called in as an emergency replacement.
当时呢是让我替补的。
So I had never done any massage in my whole life at that point.
那么当时呢，在我的一生当中，从来没有为别人做过按摩。
Actually, what had happened was that Prabhupada had come to Delhi. He had come with Hari Kesh.
那么当时呢，是Prabhupada和Hari Kesh 呢来到德里。
and he had just sent his previous servant and secretary to Africa. So when he arrived in Delhi, he needed a servant and secretary. Hansaduta flew in from Europe to be the secretary. And there was one devotee, Upendra Prabhu. He had previously been Prabhupada's servant. And he had been staying here in Krishna Balaram Mandir for the previous 3 months. So when Prabhupada arrived in Delhi on November 25th, Upendra went there to meet him. And that day and the next day, he did Prabhupada's massage. But on the following day, he had to fly to Fiji because he was taking up a new preaching assignment there. So they needed some. Prabhupada needed somebody else to do the massage. And I just happened to be in Delhi for one day. I'd gone there to do some private business. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj, who was a householder at that time, he saw me. And he asked me to stay in Delhi for a couple of days while Prabhupada was there. And just stand guard at the door in the morning and during the darshan in the afternoon.
So, being guard in the morning and the evening to the darshan.
Yeah. So there was some discussion apparently between Prabhupada and Hari Kesh, who was going to do the massage when Upendra left the next day. And Prabhupada had seen me standing guard at the door. So he had said, what about that boy from Australia? So Hari Kesh wasn't very keen on that. Because a few months previously, he had been here with Prabhupada at Janmashtami time in Vrindavan. And I was the temple commander here. Yeah, so I was a very passionate, kind of ferocious person. Yeah. So Hari Kesh had seen me in action a few times. And he was thinking, no way this guy is going to come onto Prabhupada's party. Anyway, but Prabhupada said, no, he's here, so let him try. Yeah, so on the morning of the 26th then I was chanting japa in the temple room in Delhi. At that time the temple was in Bengali Markets. It was in a place called Bengali Markets in Delhi. And the whole temple was maybe as big as this room. Yeah, so I was chanting Japa, Hari Kesh popped his head through the door. And he looked at me and said, do you know how to do massage? So I said, no, never done it in my whole life. So he said, well, Upendra's massaging Prabhupada right now on the roof. Go and watch how he does it because he's leaving tomorrow and you have to do it. So I was out the door like a flash of lightning. I couldn't believe that what he was saying was actually true. But I wasn't going to stand around and argue about it either. Actually, Prabhupada was staying a few doors further down at number 9, and he was up on the roof. So I ran up the stairs, and sure enough, there was Upendra massaging Prabhupada. So I sat and watched. And then after an hour or so, Prabhupada went downstairs to bathe. And Upendra took exactly 2 minutes to tell me how to do the whole massage. Yeah, and then I was told, now go back to the temple, come back at 9 o'clock. So I had no idea up until that time that Prabhupada used to get an evening massage also. Anyway, more about that one in a minute. More about that one in a minute. So for the next day, when I reported to Prabhupada's rooms at about 11:15 in the morning. Yeah, there was Prabhupada. He was just giving a garland to Upendra. Who was there with his bags packed? He was just going out the door. So Prabhupada gave him his blessings to go and preach in Fiji. Upendra left, and then Prabhupada looked at me and he said, so, let's go. Yeah, so that was it. We went up on the roof, Prabhupada put his gumcha on, sat on the straw mat, waiting for his massage. Yeah, so I was very nervous. Yeah, I never massaged anybody in my life. And I'd never touched Prabhupada either. Except one time I touched his feet, that was it. That was in Australia. So anyway, despite the fact that I was nervous, I was also very keen to do a good job. So when I started, I knelt before him and I started to massage his head with the sandalwood oil. And I remember that after about 1 or 2 minutes, every single joint in my fingers and hands started to seize up.
Yeah, 每个手指都开始冻结住了。
Yeah, because I've not, you know, done it before. I wasn't used to the motions.
那么因为以前我就是不太习惯做这些做这个活动，做这个按摩。
Yeah, so all my hands started hurting like anything.
然后呢，所以我的手呢，就好像就是感到非常的伤。
So I was thinking, if this gets any worse, my hands are going to seize up solid. I'm not going to be able to do this.
然后我就想说，如果我的手继续这样下去的话呢，我可能我的这个手就没有办法动了，没有办法再继续做服务了。
So I just started praying to Krishna in my mind, please just let me do this.
然后呢，我就开始向 Krishna 祈祷说，请让我能够继续做这个。
So I kept on going. After about another minute, my hands became loose.And I never had that problem again.
然后呢，在这之后，大概只是一分钟呢，然后我的手就放松了，然后我再也没有这样的问题了。
Yeah. Anyway, there was a whole trick to massaging Prabhupada's head.
那么要为释迦牟尼佛头部按摩呢，就是也是有技巧。
Because he liked a very vigorous massage.
那么他习惯了吗？
Strong.
非常强的这种按摩。
Yeah, but because he's sitting upright.
然后他是坐着正坐着这样。
So he had to somehow massage his head very strongly, but not move his head.
但你得就是在非常给他做非常强烈的按摩的同时呢，不能让他的头前后的摇动。
Yeah, so he had to kind of some grip his head and massage at the same time.
你得就是握住他的头呢，在。
Maybe we can close those doors.Now the other doors. The other doors. All these doors, whatever. Yeah, come on. Yeah, and these doors as well, both.Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So then the other concern was that with the oil, he also had a massage across his forehead.
那么另外一点呢，就是说你要用这个油呢来按摩他的前额。
And I was really anxious that.You know, my hands not slip when I was doing his forehead and poke him in the eyes.
那么当时呢，我非常的谨慎啊，防止呢我的手因为非常的滑，都是油很滑，不要滑到他的眼睛上。
Yeah, or the oil go in his eyes either.
或者呢，不能让这个油呢到他的眼睛里去。
Yeah. Anyway, somehow or another, I did that. No problem. Not no problem, but I did it. Okay.Then after the doing his head, then you would go and sit behind him.
然后呢，当做完这个按摩之后呢，然后你就到薛帕帕身后，然后呢坐在。
And then massage his back.
然后开始按摩他的背部。
Then after his back, you come and sit next to him on his right hand side.
那么当这个背部的按摩结束之后呢，然后你就坐在他的身边，是在他的右手边。
And then massage his chest.And belly.
开始按摩他的胸部和他的腹部。
And Upendra told me he always massage towards his heart.
那么 Upendra 告诉我呢，总在做按摩的时候呢，总是往他的心脏方向按摩。
Because that helps the blood circulation.
因为呢，这样的按摩呢，可以帮助他的心脏的血液循环。
Then after the chest, the right arm.Yeah, so I'd sit next to him, and then I would put Prabhupada's hand on my knee.
然后呢，我就坐在释迦牟尼佛身边，然后把他的右手呢放在我的膝盖上。
And then massage up and down his arm.
那么我就上下的来按摩他的手臂。
And then with his hand, Upendra told me you have to pull it.Pull the joints, make them click.
然后他按摩他的，当我按摩他的 手的时候，昏教告诉我，我要就是去按他的这个手的关节，让他有 click 这样的声音。
Yeah, so I was very nervous about that one too.
对这一点我也是很紧张。
So I was thinking, what if I pull too hard?
我在想说我会不会按得太厉害。
And then I dislocate Prabhupada's fingers.
我会不会把需要Prabhupada的手指拉脱臼了。
Anyway, I did it. I pulled and they clicked and Prabhupada was happy, so no problem.
对，无论如何，我还是拉了需要Prabhupada的手指，然后把它按下去，然后Prabhupada感到非常的好。
Then I move around the other side and then do his left arm, same thing.
然后呢，我就走到，我就坐到沙发另外一边，然后做同样的事情。
And then finish with his legs.
然后呢，最后呢，做他的腿部按摩。
So to do his legs, Prabhupada would sit down and then he would stick his legs out in front.
那么为了做腿部的按摩呢，沙发巴会坐在地上，然后把他的腿往前伸直。
And then I'd do his left leg and foot, and then his right leg and his foot.And then he had to do the same thing with his toes that he did with the fingers.
然后呢，我会做和做就是对他的脚呢做同样做和他的手的一样的事情，就是把他拉然后按下去。
Yeah. So then I'm finished with his feet.
然后呢，我就结束了。
And actually, when I did his massage, that was when I realized that Prabhupada really does have lotus feet.
其实当我为薛帕帕做这个按摩的时候，我才领悟到薛帕帕真的是他真的具有莲花足。
Because the palms of his hands and the soles of his feet were very soft and smooth.
因为呢，他这个脚掌和脚底心呢是非常的光滑和柔软的。
Yeah, so I was thinking just like the petals of a lotus flower.
然后当时我就在想，就好像莲花瓣一样。
So that whole massage, that would take an hour and a half.
因此呢，整个的按摩呢会需要一个半小时。
And then Prabhupada would stand up.
然后需要Prabhupada会站起来。
Then he would put his hand out. You put a few drops of mustard oil in his palm of his hand.
然后他会伸出手来，然后让我在他的手心当中放一些芥末籽油。
Then he would just touch the oil to the different holes of the body.
然后呢，他会触碰这个油，然后把这个油涂在是躯体的不同的，就是每躯体的这个洞当中，就是每一个孔。
Yeah, just the ears, the nostrils, and then the anus and genital.
那么是耳朵，然后有鼻孔，然后呢是肛门和生殖器。
Yeah, that's to seal the body to help stop disease.
那么
so Ayurvedic.
这样的就可以封闭这个躯体当中的这些孔，然后呢是防止生病。
Yeah, so about halfway through the massage, then he had to stop for a moment.
那么在做按摩的当中，这个中间这个时期呢，要停一会儿。
Because Prabhupada liked to bathe with warm water.
因为薛帕帕喜欢用热水来洗澡。
Actually, up until 1967.Prabhupada's whole life, he only bathed in cold water.
那么其实在1967年之前呢，Prabhupada在这之前的所有时间都是用冷水来沐浴的。
But in 1967 in New York, he had that big heart attack.
那么但是呢，在1967年的时候，他在纽约有一个心脏病发作。
So after that time, he stopped taking cold bath because it was too shock for his system.
那么在这之后呢，他就停止了用冷水沐浴，因为这对他的这个整个身体系统来说是太刺激了。
And Prabhupada used to like to bathe from buckets.
那么通常以前的 Prabhupada 是喜欢用那个桶来沐浴的。
Even if there was a shower, he wouldn't use it.
即便呢是有这个喷淋的头，他都不喜欢来用。
Yeah. When we went to Detroit in June of 1976.
1976年的时候当我们去底特律的时候
So the house there is like a big palace.
那么那个房主呢，他的房子呢是像一个大的宫殿一样。
Yeah. Every room was all gold lining and some very opulent marble.
那么所有的 这些房间啊，这些门啊，都是啊描金的，然后地上呢都是大理石。
So Prabhupada's bathroom in that place was as big as this room.
当时呢，他放在那里的一个啊沐浴的，就是一个沐浴的地方呢，就和这个房间一样大。
And the devotees were taking him around to show him. It was a new place that we'd just got.
The devotees were taking him to
the. Yeah, they were showing him around, giving him a tour.And they showed him the shower.
然后他们就给他介绍，这就是他沐浴的地方。
So it had three nozzles at one side, three nozzles up the other side, a nozzle from the top like this.
然后呢，他在一边有三个喷，这边有三个喷头，这边有三个喷头，然后在上面还有喷头。
Prabhupada still bathed with the buckets.
但是他仍然用他的桶来沐浴。
Anyway, so two buckets. So during the massage, at some point, you had to remember to get, to put, in India, there was no running hot water in those days.
那么要准备两个桶。当时呢，就是在印度呢，是没有嘛，就开出来就有热水。
So we have this immersion heater. You know, it's like a stick you put in, electric.
那么因此呢，我们有一个就是电热丝，就是。
So,Halfway through the massage, you'd have to stop and remember to put the heater in the bucket of water and switch it on and then come back and finish the massage.
因此呢，在按摩到中间的时候呢，得记得啊，要把这个电热棒打开，然后呢，把放到水里之后再回来继续按摩。
Then at the end of the massage, you'd take that bucket in the bathroom and Prabhupada would mix it with cold water to the right temperature for bathing.
然后当做在做完这个按摩之后呢，要把这个热水呢拿给修泡泡，然后呢修泡泡会把这个冷水和热水自己调好适当的温度，然后沐浴。
So the first day that I get Prabhupada's massage, I was so you know kind of nervous and trying to concentrate so much I completely forgot about the water.
因此呢，当我第一天给修泡泡做按摩的时候呢。因为我非常的紧张，然后呢，非常的专注，我完全忘记了这件事情。
Yeah. So Prabhupada didn't say anything because it was the first time.
Prabhupada 什么都没有提，因为这对我来说是第一次。
But he had to stand around for 20 minutes whilst the water was heating up.
但是他得在那里站着等20分钟，等这个水热。
Then the next day I remembered, no problem.
然后第二天呢，我就记得了，没有任何问题。
Then the day after, I put the heater in the water, but I forgot to switch it off.
但在第三天的时候呢，我记得把这个热水棒放到了水里，但是我忘记把开关打开了。
So then that time, Prabhupada told me off.
Told me off.
Yeah, chastised me.
那么然后在那一次的时候呢，修泡泡就责骂我了。
So I realized, you know, Prabhupada's tolerant.If you're ignorant, you make a mistake, he'll tolerate it.
那么我就领悟到修泡泡是如此容忍啊，但是如果你就是如果无辜。
If you're ignorant and you make a mistake, he'll tolerate that.
那如果你是不知道的情况之下啊，做了这样的事情，修泡泡呢是会容忍的。
But if you do it again after you've been told, then he would.Get angry.
但是呢，如果你再一次犯同样的错误呢，修泡泡就要说你。
Yeah. Anyway, so he would go in the bathroom after the massage, and he would bathe. And whilst he was bathing, then we would get out his clean clothes.
那么然后呢，修泡泡就会走进沐浴的房间，然后开始沐浴，然后我们就在这里为他准备干净的衣服。
Clean clothes means kurta.Dhoti and Kalpin.
那么干净的衣服就意味着 Kurta, Dhoti 和 Kalpin.
Yeah. And then after he'd bathed, he would change. And in the meantime, on his desk here, I'd prepare his tilak.
那么当修泡泡走出来之后呢，然后他就开始换衣服，同时呢，我们来准备他的提拉克。
Yeah, that means Prabhupada had a very small lota, about this big, silver.And the water was in there with a lid and a little tiny spoon.
那么，这个水是会有里面会有水，然后呢会有一个非常小的勺子。
And then they have a little ball of tilak. So when Prabhupada came and sat down, the spoon would already have the water in it. He could just put it in and then make his tilak. So generally Prabhupada would put his tilak on the forehead and a couple of places on his chest and arms like that. But sometimes he would just do his forehead. And I remember two occasions he just put on fresh tilak. He was going out for a program. And he still had extra tilak on his hand. So he scraped that up and put it on the edge of his hand. Then he held his hand out, he called me over, he said, "You take it." So it was nice, I scraped it off Prabhupada's hand and put my tilak on. So then after tilak, then Prabhupada would chant his Gayatri. Actually, twice we asked Prabhupada when was the best time for chanting Gayatri Mantra. Yeah, because some devotees have the idea dawn, midday, and dusk. But both times I was there when Prabhupada was asked, his preference was immediately after bathing. Yeah. So then by that time the cooks would have Prabhupada's lunch ready. Yeah. Now, when I was with Prabhupada, maybe just once or twice I cooked, but I practically never cooked for Prabhupada. I think I was the only regular servant of Prabhupada that couldn't cook. Yeah, somehow or another I was always able to arrange for somebody else to do the cooking. But there was an advantage to that also. Because when, say like Shrutakirti Prabhu, when he was Prabhupada's servant, so he was cooking and he was also doing the massage. So he would have to stop halfway through the massage, go in, put the cooker on, make sure everything was okay, then come back. Then at the end of the massage, you'd have to run around getting, you know, Prabhupada's prasadam ready. So with a separate cook and a separate servant, then it meant that both services were done more effectively. Yeah, I was able to give Prabhupada a full 1.5 hour, very strong massage. And the cooks were able to make more preparations than if it had been the servant. Anyway, so then Prabhupada would take his lunch usually at about 1:30. Then by about 2 o'clock he would be finished. Again he would come and sit for about 15 or 20 minutes and chant a little japa. Then again he would go and take rest for 1 hour in the bedroom. Or actually here in Vrindavan, Prabhupada liked to go and rest up on the roof. There's a room on the roof, and there's a front section and a back section to the roof. And we would put like a wooden cot out on the veranda on the roof there. Well, it's like I say cot because it's actually a wooden frame like a bed, but it has, instead of a solid base, it has straps, cloth straps. In India you see them, sometimes they're made just ropes, like a frame with ropes going across. So we had something like that but with wide cotton straps going across instead of rope. And Prabhupada liked to go and lie down in the sun and have his rest up on the roof in the quiet. Then in the afternoon when he got up from his rest, he would come and sit down here in the darshan room. About 3:30, 4 o'clock time. And every afternoon we would give him a fresh garland. And we would put fresh sandalwood paste on his forehead. And we would have a glass of fresh fruit juice. Or sometimes coconut juice, dub. Or sometimes I would go and I would buy him some fresh guava. Guava. Yeah, Prabhupada liked guavas. And he told me that when he was living in Allahabad in the 1930s, when it was the custom that in the summertime when it was very hot, people would just buy one very big guava and cut that, put some salt and just eat that. That was all they would eat in the daytime. And then in the evening when it was a little cooler, then they would have the main meal. So Prabhupada liked guavas. So then after that, then he would give a general darshan. He would go into the temple room, as I've already explained, under the tamal tree. And then when the evening arati began, he would tell the devotees to attend arati, and he would end the darshan.
Mm-hmm. Garpi 开始的时候呢，他就会让奉献者来参加这个 Arti， 然后他就结束了 Dasha。
And then he would spend the next couple of hours. Generally, again, he might meet some people, or he would discuss with the temple managers different points about managing.
那么在这之后的几个小时呢，通常情况下他会接见一些客人，或者是说和庙宇的管理者来讨论一些事情。
Or he would simply sit and chant some japa.
或者呢，他只是在就坐在这里念诵。
And especially in 1976, September, October, November, nearly 3 months we were here, and Prabhupada liked to go and sit in the garden.
那么通常情况下呢，是在九月、十月和十一月，基本上这三个月我们是在这里的。然后需要花花呢，他会去后面这个花园呢，坐在那里。
So it would be around about this time of night,
6:30, 7 o'clock.
And sometimes we would go and sit out in the garden with him, and he would reminisce sometimes about the old days in India, British India. Because when Prabhupada was born and brought up in Calcutta, the British were the rulers of India. Yeah, India didn't get independence till 1947. So Prabhupada was already like 51 years old by that time. Yeah, so all his early memories were of British ruled India. Yeah, so sometimes he used to joke. Because the boy that was looking after Prabhupada's gardens, his name was Charanaravindam, he was from England. He was British. The devotee that was looking after the back garden. Yeah, he's a British devotee, Charanaravindam. And I'm also originally from England. So Prabhupada, sometimes he would take some pleasure in the fact that previously the British were ruling India. Yeah, he said, now I'm an Indian. He said, now my gardener and my servant are both British. So, a bit ironic. Anyway, so then about 9 o'clock time, then Prabhupada would come back in if he'd been outside. And he liked to have a hot glass of milk every night. And when I first joined the party, he showed me how to get it to the right temperature. Because I brought it in one night and it was, of course, boiling hot. So Prabhupada told me to go and get a bowl. Then he took the glass of milk and he started pouring it from the glass to the bowl, then back from the bowl into the glass like this, 4 or 5 times. Then when he got it to the right temperature, then he drank it. Then after that, then he would generally take rest about 10 o'clock. And that was when the second massage of the day was done. Yeah, so the second massage, that first night when Upendra was showing me how to do the massages.
那么, 这晚上的这个按摩呢，就是啊，乌潘德在那一次告诉我怎么样来做。
I had come back to Prabhupada's rooms at 9 o'clock, as I had been told.
那么就像我被告诉的，九点钟我在来到了帕帕的房间。
And then after a few minutes, Prabhupada went in his bedroom, and Upendra told me, "Come on, let's go."
然后呢，帕帕回到了他的卧室，然后Upendra就向我招手，对我说，让我们去吧。
Prabhupada was lying on the bed, fully clothed.
那么释迦帕帕呢，就躺在他的床上，然后身上铺着一块布。
Yeah, and then Upendra showed me how to do the evening massage. So it was a dry massage, no oil. And just from the waist down. Yeah, and mainly just kind of pressing and rubbing just to improve the circulation in Prabhupada's legs. So Upendra explained to me, said if the bed is big enough, then you can sit up on the bed with Prabhupada and just massage him like that. But at that time, that bed in Delhi was very small, so we had to stand up and...
那么当时呢，在德里那个床呢是很小的，所以我只能站在那里为释迦帕帕按摩。
So Upendra, as he was massaging Prabhupada, because it was dark and quiet.
那么当Upendra给释迦帕帕按摩的时候，当时呢是比较黑，然后呢是非常安静的。
And he said that now if Prabhupada goes to sleep...Yeah, don't go out.
Yeah.
And he told me that when he first massaged Prabhupada in the night time, Prabhupada started to snore. Just softly. So he thought, oh, Prabhupada's sleeping. So he stopped and he started to go.
然后他就停止了按摩，然后就开始要走出去。
So when he got to the door,
当他走到门口的时候
yeah, Prabhupada's voice came out of the darkness.
然后释迦帕帕的声音呢，就从黑夜当中冒出来。
Oh, you were finished?
哦，结束了吗？
So then he had to come back and keep on going till Prabhupada told him to stop.
然后他只能再回来，然后继续按摩，直到释迦帕帕让他结束。
So anyway, that first night, it was 10 minutes.And Prabhupada just kind of gave a little hmm, and then that was it, we went. So I thought, well, this is really easy. Yeah, must be, you know, like the easiest part of the service.
这是
所有服务当中最容易的部分。Later on, it averaged out about half an hour every night.
然后呢，在这之后呢，基本上晚上都是半个小时的时间。
But about 4 months later, we were in Mayapur.
那么在四个月之后，当我们在 Mayapur 的时候。
This was like February, March of 76.
那么这是大概是两三月份的时候。
And
yeah.
That massage, it, from half an hour, it became an hour. Then from an hour, it became an hour and a half. Then from an hour and a half, it got up to 2 hours. Yeah, and I was getting out of Prabhupada's rooms at midnight.And it was really the most difficult service. Yeah, because everybody else would be asleep. Yeah, the room was dark. And we used to cover Prabhupada's bed with a very large mosquito net.It's like a small tent.
就
Yeah, so you were inside, and the, of course the mosquito net would stop the air from blowing through. And we also, we used to burn these mosquito coils. Yeah, so the very heavy, thick smoke all over the room. Yeah, and then of course, Prabhupada was also asleep. And you had to sit there and massage till he woke up and told you to go. Yeah, so it was really difficult just staying awake and keeping going. Yeah, because you've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning, now it's 10 o'clock at night, everybody else is already asleep. And I remember just the struggle, you know, to stay awake and keep on going. Sometimes you'd be massaging and you start nodding. And sometimes you just blank out. Then all of a sudden you wake up. And you wouldn't know whether you've been out for 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 20 minutes. So that was, it was a tough service, that one. Anyway, so then after the massage, the servant would go in his room and go to sleep. And I saw practically every night, almost immediately, Prabhupada would get up and he would come into his darshan room and then he would sit down and begin translating the Bhagavatam. So he would work at least 3-4 hours practically every night. Yeah, and then at Mangalarati time, then as the devotees were getting up, then Prabhupada would stop. So that's why I said that Prabhupada's day didn't really begin or end, because, you know, it's not like there was a, with us, we stop at, you know, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, we sleep and then we get up in the morning. Prabhupada didn't do that. He was working all the time. So, just one quick story about this room. And then we'll have a look at the other areas. So, when Prabhupada was translating, he always said it takes very great concentration. That he had to think carefully about every single word. And whilst we were here in Vrindavan in 76, October, November time, Prabhupada told me, he said, it is not my words, it is Krishna's words. So, just here, this small room here, this is the what used to be the servant's room. And the first week that I spent with Prabhupada in December 75, in his quarters here.
当我开始 始在1975年的十二月份开始为薛发发服务的时候呢，我就在这个地方。
Myself and Harry Cash and Hansaduta were all in that room.
那么我自己 Hansaduta 和 Harry Sari 我们三个都在那个房间。
But then after, I think, the second night, Prabhupada called us in, he said, who is snoring?
Yeah.
So we figured it must be either me or Harry Hansaduta. Because Harry Cash had previously stayed in that room with no complaint. So me and Hansaduta, we got a room in the guest house and we were sleeping in the night time. We would go in the guest house and sleep. But later on, every other time that I came here, which was about a total of 4 months, afterwards, visiting. On later visits. Yeah. Then I was always staying in this room and Prabhupada never complained. So anyway, in November of 76, I was sleeping in that room. About 11:30, 12 o'clock, Prabhupada rang his bell. We had a bell with a very long electrical cord on it, so we would put the buzzer on Prabhupada's desk and then run the lead into the servant's room so he could ring us. So around about, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock, I heard the bell ring. So I came in here, I offered my obeisances. And Prabhupada was sitting at his desk here with his dictaphone in his hand. Yeah. A recorder. So he looked at me, he said, there's some noise. So it was very quiet. And he kind of signaled for me to hear, to listen. So I was listening and listening. I couldn't hear anything. So Prabhupada saw me looking puzzled. So he said, no, listen. So I was listening really carefully, and then after a minute I heard a very, very faint humming noise. Yeah. So as soon as Prabhupada saw the look on my face when I recognized that I could hear this noise, he said, now, find it and stop it. So I went out the door and into the area in the front here. And I was trying to figure out, what is this noise? So I started to move towards the temple and it got very faint.
And then I realized that it was in the temple, in the
So that, then I started to walk back towards the guest house next door here. And as I got into the guest house, I could hear it more clearly. So I started going up the stairs. And the higher I got, the clearer it became. So I went up three stories. And then by the time I got to the top floor, I'd figured out what it was. And then I came to one of the rooms and I banged on the door. And there's one devotee, he's here right now actually, his name's Vishal. He's a little roundy American guy. Yeah. So I banged on the door. And Vishal opens the door, it's midnight. Oh, what's wrong with you? So I told him, Vishal, I said, you've got your fan on. It's disturbing Prabhupada, he's trying to translate. So he immediately switched it off. So it was like mid-November, it was cool, but somehow or another he had his fan on full, you know, on full. Yeah. Then when I came back down, Prabhupada was happily working away, he didn't say anything, I went back to sleep. So that gives you an idea of how Prabhupada was concentrating on his work. Yeah, just one last little thing about sleeping. Because the first instruction Prabhupada gave to me when we came here to Vrindavan was he said, now your only business is to be with me 24 hours. So that meant literally 24 hours. There were some occasions when Prabhupada would ring 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever. You had to be ready to get up and come in. So somehow or another you had to be in a state of consciousness that even when you were asleep, you know, you would be ready for the bell ringing. And I remember when we arrived in Tehran, in Iran, in August of 76. Prabhupada took rest probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. So only very briefly, and about 2 o'clock he started working. And as soon as he sat down, something was wrong with the dictaphone. So he rang the bell. So I had only just gotten to take rest myself. And I was just starting to go off to sleep. And then, yeah. So I jumped out my sleeping bag, came into Prabhupada's room. And then he said, there's something wrong here. So I'd, some loose connection. So I got it working, then I went back to take rest. I was just going off to sleep. I kept running in again, same problem. After 2 minutes, then again I went back to sleep. I was just going off to sleep. So like this, I think 4 or 5 times. Yeah, so then fire went back into my room. I'm just going off to sleep again. Yeah, so I went running in, around, and came into Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada's working away, translating. So he looked up, what is that? He hadn't rung the bell. when I was going off to sleep, I dreamed that he'd rung the bell. And so anyway, you had to be ready. Okay, I've talked enough. Does anybody have any questions before we start looking around?
Chandrasekhar Prabhu.
What were the things in my service? Oh, what impressed me about Prabhupada the most? Well, there were lots of things that impressed me about. Everything impressed me. I think just the thing that I really was impressed was just Prabhupada's humility. And the fact that he was just totally 100% fixed on, you know, Krishna consciousness and preaching Krishna consciousness. There was no public and private Prabhupada. Yeah, he was totally consistent all the time. Yeah, Prabhupada was just very naturally, you know, absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And in fact, when we came here on December the 2nd in 1975, that was when I got added to the party as a permanent member. When I was added to the party as a permanent member. I remember sitting and watching Prabhupada preaching in the afternoon in the darshan. And I just got a very clear and deep realization that Prabhupada was a living, breathing Bhagavatam. Yeah, I'd had a few days by that time of seeing Prabhupada in a way that I'd in circumstances I'd never seen him before. And you know, in informal situations. Previously, I'd only ever seen Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasam. Or, you know, once or twice I've been on a morning walk with him. And on, I think, a couple of occasions, I'd managed to get into his room when he was receiving some visitors.
那么我还记得有几次的机会呢，就是啊，我当他会见客人的时候呢，我有机会就到他的房间。
But they were all like very formal situations.
但是这些所有的这些场合呢，都是非常正式的场合。
And of course, Prabhupada was preaching very strongly.
那么虽然说他当时传教是非常强烈的。
But I saw later on his party, that even when there was nobody there, he was still in the same mood.
然后呢，当我加入了这个队伍之后，即便是在非正式的场合当中，说他话仍然处在这样的一个强烈的传教的心态之下。
Yeah, he would be relaxed, and he would, talk casually sometimes with us about, the British in India or this or that.
那么当然他也会有放松的时候，然后他会说一些关于英国统治印度啊，然后这样的一些事情。
But he was totally, absorbed in Krishna.
但是他完全的专注于 Krishna.
So I realized that, whether Prabhupada's, relaxing, or he's in a formal situation, or he's dealing with management, or he's just, reminiscing, whatever it was.
那么我开始意识到，不管说 Prabhupada 是在正式场合，或者是非正式场合，不管说 Prabhupada 是在会见客人或者任何的情况之下
yeah, he's fully Krishna conscious.
他是完全有 Krishna 知觉的。
And up until that time, Krishna consciousness, at least for me, was a little bit theoretical.
那么当时在那个时期呢，对 Krishna 知觉对我来说呢，是还是理论化的。
Yeah, I was reading the books.
那么我那个时候我是阅读书籍。
And I had some understanding, some little realization.
有一小点的领悟
But there's so much in the Bhagavatam and Nectar of Devotion and Bhagavad Gita.
但是呢，在就是在《国家瓦坛》《国家梵歌》和《更爱的甘露》当中，是容纳了那么多的东西。
So it seems like this will take lifetimes to absorb this and really understand it.
因此呢，要真正理解它呢，需要花一些的时间。
But when I saw Prabhupada that particular day.It just struck me that everything that was in Prabhupada's books, every aspect of Krishna consciousness was all there in his person.
那么，然后当我开始就是加入这个团体之后，我就意识到说，其实一切薛宝帕写在书里的东西都展现在他的身上，展现在他自己身上。
And I just made a decision.That I was going to observe him as closely as possible for as long as I was with him and just learn everything about Krishna consciousness that I could.
然后呢，我就决定说，我得尽可能的接近薛帕帕，然后从他身上学到尽可能的学到多的东西。
So I think, consistency with Prabhupada was his key feature. Consistency.Steadiness,
same.
That's one thing. There's so many things, I know. Any other questions?
Could you tell us any story about since you served Srila Prabhupada because of the service, then did that affect your life during the time you served Srila Prabhupada?
So how has that service has affected my life? Well, I had a very dramatic change, I think, even as a devotee.I mean, becoming a devotee was a very dramatic change from being a kami.
那么，其实作为一个奉献者，就是说是和非奉献者和以前的非奉献者来说呢，也是对我来说是一个非常巨大的转变。
Yeah, that's like night and day.
就好像日夜的转变。
Yeah, you're asleep, you wake up.
然后呢，你在睡着的，然后呢再醒来了。
But.That period that I spent with Prabhupada definitely put me on another level of realization about Krishna consciousness. And that period has become my reference point for everything that I do. Yeah. When something happens or somebody asks me a question, the first thing I do is try to think of something that happened of a similar nature when I was with Prabhupada. Yeah, and the fact, you know, the attachment that I got for Prabhupada during that period has saved me in times when I've been in a lot of mire as well. Yeah, I mean, like every other devotee, or most other devotees, I've had lots of ups and downs. Yeah, but even in the deepest mire, I've always remembered Prabhupada. Yeah, so that's not possible for me to give that up. Yeah.
所以，你的 scripture says that when we serve the master, we have to look him as the God. 嗯。所以，我想问一下，那个在服务这个释迦牟尼佛的时候，就是心态是出于敬，别人不会表现这个心态吗？
So when you serve Srila Prabhupada, the mood you have is all in reference or other any kind of mood? Yeah. Okay, what's the mood if the spiritual master is the external manifestation of Krishna. And it's all in reverence, largely. Yeah, just we were trained, whenever we came into Prabhupada's presence, the first thing you do is offer your obeisances. And as soon as you leave, you offer your obeisances and go. That was the first thing that I was taught when I joined the party. But within that awe and reverence, you know, there's also different degrees of intimacy. Yeah, I mean, one kind of awe and reverence is that, you know, you're just kind of bedazzled. And I remember in the late 1970s, after Prabhupada's disappearance, I was, because I kept a diary whilst I was traveling with Prabhupada. And so I was reading from my diary to some devotees in New York. I think this was like 79 or 18, something like that. And in those days, there was no Prabhupada Lilamrita, there was no. We had very little information about Prabhupada's, you know, daily activities, most devotees. So I used to travel around a little bit and I would read from my diary just to give devotees, you know, a more intimate look at Prabhupada.
我会到处到处旅行，我会旅行，然后呢会告诉奉献者，就是在我日记上所记的一些薛啪啪的事情，然后呢让奉献者能够知道更多的关于啪啪的东西。
So one devotee came to me after a reading.
因此呢，当那次我读完之后呢，一个奉献者就来到我面前。
And he said, you know, when you read from your diary, I become very disturbed.
他说，你知道吗？当你阅读你的日记的时候，我感到非常的受骚扰。
I said, why?
我说为什么呢？
He said, because all I've ever seen Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan.
因为我看到的 Prabhupada 所有的都是在他坐在 Vyasasan 座上。
And it's very formal.
是非常的正式。
Yeah, and I just, that's my whole image of him.
That's my whole
image.
Yeah. 就是我看到他所有的这个形象。
So now you're telling me, you know, what's going on when you're doing the massage or in night time or, you know, some disturbance. And he said, it's completely altered my whole impression.
然后呢，你在你的日记当中的读到说啊，你怎么样给薛啪啪做按摩，然后晚上发生什么事情，然后有什么样的骚扰，这完全是就是我没有办法想象的，因此对我来说好像是一种骚扰。
Yeah, so he wasn't used to seeing the object of his worship, Prabhupada, on the Vyasasan, you know, being dealt with in a more informal or even casual manner.
那么他不习惯于接受薛啪啪在这样一种非正式的或者比较比较非正式的这样一种随意的这样的一种这样一种状态。
So it kind of shook him a little bit, like that awe and reverence.
然后就是说这使他呢感到有一些震惊，因为是和那些敬畏是和敬畏不一样。
But later on, he came to appreciate it.
在这之后呢，他就开始欣赏了。
Yeah. So, awe and reverence is one thing, and this, you know, always the guru-disciple relationship has to be fixed.
那么敬畏呢是一件事情，但是呢 guru 和门徒的这个关系呢是必须是非常紧固的。
But there are levels of intimacy that can be developed within that relationship.
那么这种亲密的程度呢，可以通过这样的门徒和孤儿的关系呢，可以得到增长。
Yeah, where the spiritual master depends on his, you know, personal servants to do, you know, certain things for him even without asking.
那么雷静导师可能会依靠他的仆人呢，要去做一些事情，甚至在他没有提出这个要求的时候呢，他已经不去做了。
And especially in the last few months when Prabhupada was very, very sick.
那么尤其是当薛啪啪最后的几个月当中，当他非常虚弱的时候。
Then I saw that level of intimacy was developed to a very high degree.
那么我见证到像非常亲密的这个程度呢，是增长到了非常高的程度。
Yeah, especially with Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
尤其呢是和 Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah, because he was Prabhupada's permanent secretary, and when Prabhupada became physically incapacitated, he put himself in the hands of Tamal Krishna Maharaj completely.
那么因为呢，Tamal Krishna Maharaj 他是薛啪啪永恒的秘书，那么当薛啪啪身体被完全的生病了，非常虚弱的时候呢，他把自己完全的交给 Tamal Krishna Maharaj。
And the depth of their exchanges was way beyond anything that I ever had with Prabhupada。
那么他们之间的这种亲密的程度呢，是完全超越于我和薛啪啪所具有的。
Yeah, so it depends on the circumstances, but there is a lot of intimacy that can be there within that formal guru-disciple relationship.
那么这是取决于不同的情况的，但是呢，这个亲密的程度呢是可以在门徒和灵性导师这个关系当中得到发展。
And although you know sometimes Prabhupada would call us in and he would ask us for our advice.
有时候呢，薛啪啪会把我们叫进来，然后询问我们的意见。
Yeah, one time, Prabhupada was up on the roof. This was in September of 76.
那么， 就是有一天呢，薛帕帕叫把我们叫到楼顶，是在1976年的九月份。
And there was some managerial problems here in Vrindavan.
那么当时呢，是在 Vrindavan 呢有一个管理上的问题。
And Prabhupada was trying to figure out who should be the temple president.
那么帕帕呢要决定呢谁来做庙长。
And there were two or three men. There was Hari Kesh, there was Hansadutta, and there was a Kayananda who was the temple president at that time.
那么当时呢有两三个奉献者，有 Hari Kesh， 有
Hari Kesh，
Akshayananda，
and Hansadutta. So Prabhupada was trying to figure out who would be the best man.
因此呢，帕帕要选定说谁会是最好的人选。
And So about 1 o'clock in the morning, I heard the bell ring.
那么大概是凌晨一点钟的时候呢，我就听到铃响了。
And then Prabhupada, you know, when I went in, Prabhupada looked at me and said, "I want your advice."
当我走进屋里，然后薛帕帕看着我说，对我说，我需要你的意见。
So I was surprised. Prabhupada's asking my advice. What can I say?
当时我非常的惊讶，薛帕帕询问我的意见，我能说什么呢？
So when Prabhupada saw, you know, my hesitancy, he reassured me. He said, no, he said, after all, you have got a British brain. Yeah.Because for Prabhupada, the British men, they were good managers. So he was reassuring me, no, you have a British brain, you give me some advice. So one by one he asked me my opinion about each of these three men and how they should be engaged. Yeah, so that was one occasion where I was giving advice. Yeah, to a person who I based my whole life on his instructions. But there was another occasion when I gave advice. And it wasn't appropriate. It was not appropriate. Yeah, and I stepped over that boundary between guru and disciple.
Yeah.
This was in 77 in Mayapur. And Prabhupada had been invited to go and do a small Pandal program at the Samadhi of Mahesh Pandit. And at that time Prabhupada was very weak, he was sick. And there were several sannyasis there in Mayapur. And Prabhupada could have sent, you know, the sannyasis to do it on his behalf. And this man from Mahesh Pandit Samadhi, he was the pujari there. He had come a couple of times, and he was really trying to get Prabhupada to come personally. And we weren't keen on it. So I tried, you know, to put up several, you know, reasonable arguments why Prabhupada should not go and why the sannyasis should go. And Prabhupada defeated me on each point.
但是呢，薛泡泡驳倒在每个我的每个理由上呢，都驳倒了我。
And then still I couldn't accept it.
但仍然我不能接，不愿意接受。
Because I was thinking, when Prabhupada goes here, he's going to get sick. It's too much, you know. So again, I pushed. And then Prabhupada put his hand up like this. He allowed me to make several objections. Yeah, but then when he saw that I wasn't, you know, accepting what his desire. Then he stopped me. And then I realized I'd pushed too far. Yeah. It was sometimes a problem when you were on the party. Because on the one hand, you were there, you know, to assist Prabhupada and, you know, to try to make life easier for him whilst he's preaching. Yeah, and on the other hand, when Prabhupada went out and preached like this, you knew sometimes he was going to get sick. So how much do you, you know, protect him or his health, and how much do you, you know, facilitate his preaching? When Pushta Krishna Maharaj became his secretary in 1976,
Pushta Krishna,
we had gone to Fiji. And the devotees had made some arrangements for some preaching in some faraway places. So Pushta Krishna and Guru Kripa, who was the local GBC,
Guru Kripa,
they called in the local man, Vasudev. And they got on his case. Yeah? And they told him, cancel this program, cancel that program. We want Prabhupada to rest as much as possible. So I saw them what was going on. Vasudev became very disturbed. So I called him over. I said, you go and speak with Prabhupada personally. And then when Prabhupada heard that they were pressuring him to cancel programs, he called them in and he chastised them. And Pushta Krishna Maharaj, he said, but Prabhupada, he said, we just, you know, we don't want you to be inconvenienced. And Prabhupada said, for somebody my age, just traveling is an inconvenience. Yeah, but he said, I have accepted that inconvenience for the sake of preaching. So now you do whatever programs he wants. Yeah, so we were there and we had to facilitate Prabhupada's preaching. Even when we knew that it would cause an inconvenience. Yeah. Anyway, so I hope that answers your question. Yeah. All right, shall we have a quick look around because it's getting late? I'm sorry to have gone on for so long. Yeah, but maybe if I come to China sometime, we can talk a lot more. Right, just before you get up, I'll explain about the bed here.
Yeah.
So this bed was purchased at the first day of October
1977.
Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay. And he was very, very sick. His body was practically finished. And on September the 30th, I had flown from Australia, where I was by that time the GBC. And I had come to spend the month of October with Prabhupada as the visiting GBC secretary. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the permanent secretary. Upendra Prabhu was his servant. Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he was also another servant. And there was Abhiram Prabhu and several others. So on the evening of the day that I arrived on the 30th of September, Prabhupada called about 8 or 9 of us into his room. Brahmananda, he was also there. And then one by one, we had to speak and say whether we thought he should remain in Bombay or come here to Vrindavan.
One by one, we have to
tell him what.
Tell him why he's
if he should stay in Bombay or go to Vrindavan. So, we all spoke. When it was my turn to speak, I wasn't sure what the criteria was for making the choice. Yeah. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, is it for health or is it for preaching? So he said it is for health. So then I added my vote that he come here to Vrindavan. So we all voted except one man, Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Gopal Krishna Maharaj, that he should come back here to Vrindavan. So then the next morning, Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked me, you go to Delhi and make some arrangements for Prabhupada to come back to Vrindavan. So we had discussed what we would need. And because Prabhupada couldn't move anymore, he would have to stay here in the darshan room all day and night. And that the bed that we had was not adequate for that. Adequate. Was not good enough. Sufficient. So that was the first thing. I was to go and purchase a bed and make the arrangements for Prabhupada to stay comfortably here in Vrindavan. So I flew to Delhi, and then I spoke with the temple president, Bhagavata Shriya Das. And he had one member that was coming around. He was a woodworker. So we went to see him. He had one bed. And that was this one that you see here. So immediately we purchased that and we sent it by truck here to Vrindavan. And we had a thicker mattress made and like that. We got the sheets and whatever else we needed. And then in the evening I ran up to Mal Krishna Maharaj. I said, everything's ready, you can come. Actually in the afternoon. And then Prabhupada came that evening by train to Mathura. So they arrived, I think, the morning of the 2nd of October in Mathura. And then we brought Prabhupada here, and this was where he spent the last 6 weeks. On Prabhupada's disappearance day every year, the devotees, they build a very nice, it's like a house of flowers around this bed. There's a nice ceremony. So anyway, you can all just get the blessings of Prabhupada, just touch the bed and so we'll go through to the other rooms now. So as I was saying, this small room here, let everybody come first. Thank you. So this, most of them there or not? Yeah. This room was the servants' room. Yeah, as you can see, it's quite empty. But there's actually more furniture in it now than there was when we used to stay in it. Yeah. So that drawing there was by Devahuti Dasi, that was there in those days. That's Jagannath Mishra, Mother Sachi, and Baby Nimai. Yeah. So these cabinets have been added, these two shell cabinets. Here you can see some of Prabhupada's massage paraphernalia. That's the same bottle, this big bottle on the left, is the same bottle that we were keeping mustard oil in for Prabhupada. And then there's some other things here that we used for massaging Prabhupada in the last 6 weeks. And actually in May and June and July of 77, Prabhupada was here in Vrindavan. And there's some other items here that were used during that period. There's two shells here that we use for massaging Prabhupada.
那么这里有两个戴帽，那么我们是用它来做为薛帕帕做按摩的。
There's a sponge there that I think I brought that from Australia.
那么那里有一个海绵，这个海绵我想是我从澳大利亚带过来的。
There's Prabhupada's razor.
那么这是薛帕帕的剃刀。
There's a mortar and pestle that we use for making medicine.
那么这里有一个研磨的器具是用来磨薛帕帕的这个药的。
Then down below on the bottom.There's a manicure set.
那么在这下方呢，有一套就是剪指甲的用具。
And Prabhupada would use that for clipping his nails and like that.
因此，薛帕帕会要出用这套用具的来修剪他的指甲。
There's also a brass lota.
那么这里还有一个铜的这样的一个容器。
Which we carried all around the world with us. That was a spittoon.
那么我们会带着这个容器呢，全是当旅行的时候，全世界都会带着它。那么这是专门是吐痰的。
Yeah, and there's a massage mat there as well.
那么这里呢是这里呢是它的按摩用的那张垫在下面垫子。
Now on this side here, you can see some old literatures.
那么在这一边呢，你们会看到的一些比较陈旧的一些经典。
The far left one, that's the book that I was describing before.
那么这左边的这一本书呢，是这本书我刚才提到过的。
That is the prospectus of the League of Devotees.
那么就是奉献者团体的这个小册子。
Yeah. Then there's a picture there of Prabhupada.
那么在这里有一张薛帕帕的照片。
That was the picture that was on a pamphlet when Prabhupada first went to the West. That was the cover of a small brochure that he had printed up.
那么这是当薛帕帕第一次去到西方的时候呢，他有这样一个小册子，然后就进了这张照片。
That was his first piece of advertising for the Western world.
那么这就是他在西方世界的第一份的那个。做的一个广就是宣传的手册。
Yeah. Here you have an original copy of the first Back to Godhead magazine from 1944.
那么在1944年的开始呢，这是第一份回归神手的杂志，这是原来的这个原件。
Actually, this is the second edition, not the first.
那么其实呢，这是它的第二部分。
Then there's some other, there's a small diary there.
那么在这里呢，有一个小的日记本。
Yeah, Prabhupada wrote some, this was written in 1976 when I was with him.
那么这是在1976年的时候，当我和他在一起的时候写的。
Prabhupada was writing some notes, he was in America, but he was thinking about India.
当时薛帕帕在美国，但是他在想着印度，然后他就写了一些笔记。
And it seems he was thinking aboutspeaking with Indira Gandhi, who was the Prime Minister at that time.
那么他在想着怎么样去和甘地见面。
And how he was going to advise her how to govern India.
那么他怎么样来建议甘地来统治印度。
So point one, grant immigration for 500 foreigners.
那么第一点就是出入境的是要同意500个外籍人士要同意入境。
Second point, all members of parliament should be initiated brahmanas.
All members of parliament.
Yes, government.
Government.
Yeah.、
那么所有国会的人员呢，都应该被启迪为婆罗门。
Yeah. Third point, Sanjaya should be the king.
Sanjaya
was the son, the eldest son of Indira Gandhi.
那么Sanjaya 他是甘地的最长子。
Indira means Indira Gandhi should be the mother queen.
那么Indira 应该成为印度的国母。
Yeah.
太后。
Fourth point, animal slaughterhouses completely prohibited.
那么第四点就是动物的那些屠杀场的那些屠宰动物的地方呢，要完全的为关闭个禁止。
Point five, chanting regularly everywhere.
然后第五点，应该在任何的地方都有规律的来唱诵。
Point six, Meat eaters only at home, no public meat.
然后第六点是啊，食肉者只能在家里食肉，没有在公众场合的食肉。
Point seven, prostitution punishable.
那么第七点是啊，那个卖淫是啊要受到惩罚的。
Point eight, no religious groups accept Bhagavad Gita as it is.
那么第八点是没有除了博迦梵歌原意之外，没有任何的其他的宗教的团体。
Yeah, then point nine. It was a little difficult to read this one, but it's something that all officers must go to Kirtan at least three times a day.
然后第九点呢不是那么清楚，大概的意思呢是啊，所有的公务人员呢都应该每天三次的去参加 Kirtan。
And the tenth point, she should support Krishna consciousness all over the world.
第十点是应该支持在全世界的 Krishna 知觉运动。
So you can see, Prabhupada didn't think on small scale.
那么因此呢，我们可以看到，薛帕帕从来不会做任何小的计划。
Yeah. So there's some chatters that Prabhupada wore is dhoti there.
那么我们可以看到这里有一些薛帕帕用的 chada 和 dhoti。
And in the bottom, there's some shoes, aeroplane slippers, socks.
那么我们会看到，在下面呢是薛帕帕用的这些拖鞋，然后他用的袜子。
And then in this box here, there's a clay impression of Prabhupada's feet.
那么在这个下面的这个盒子当中呢，是薛帕帕是用粘土的这样一个足印。
Which unfortunately you can't see properly because it's been covered over by this sign here.
那么不幸的是，我们在这里没有看到没有办法看到它的全貌，因为在这上面有一个说明。
But that impression was made here in this darshan room about October the 25th or 26th of 1976.
那么这个足印呢是在1976年10月25号26号的时候在这个Darshan的房间里面做的。
Dhananjaya Prabhu, who is currently the manager of the MVT at the back here.
那么Dhananjaya Prabhu, 他现在是 MVT 的这个管理者。
He had been encouraged by Prabhupada to do some business making deities.
那么当时呢，他薛帕帕鼓励他说去做一些神像。
So I told him, why don't you get Prabhupada to make a set of footprints in clay, and then you can make them a casting from that in silver and sell them to the temples.
那么然后呢，我就建议他说，为什么不做一些帕帕的足印，然后呢，可以把这些做出这些足印来呢，然后可以卖给庙宇。
So one day we came in with a box.With clay in it.
然后呢，有一天呢，我们就拿了一个盒子，里面的装的粘土。
And then Prabhupada stood on the top on the box on the clay.
然后呢，薛帕帕就站在这个粘土上。
And he let me push his feet down, so there was a good impression.
然后呢，他让我把他就是说把他的脚呢往下压，这样呢能够有一个非常清晰的足印。
I think I pushed a little bit too hard.
我想可能我按得太厉害了。
Because one of the impressions is a little bit bigger than what his foot actually was.
对，因为呢，其中有一个足印呢是比他真正的这个足印大一点。
Anyway, a lot of our temples have a molding taken from this now and on Prabhupada's Vyasasam.
那么，但是无论如何，在我们的很多的庙宇当中呢，都有来自于这个足印的足印的他薛帕帕的。
I think there's one other molding like this that was made by Kirtanananda Maharaj for New Vrindavan that was also in 1976.
那我想有另外一个足印是在新Vrindavan做的，是在1976年的时候。
Then on the bottom here you can see Prabhupada's harmonium.
然后在下面呢可以看到薛帕帕的 harmonium.
And we did do some recordings. Prabhupada played that harmonium.In October, November time of
76.
Yeah. So that's this room. We're not really supposed to go in here, but this passageway, there's a door to the right you can see, that was Prabhupada's bedroom.
那么这个通道呢，我们看到在的右方呢有一个房间，这个房间呢就是需要泡泡的卧室。
And the door at the end that goes through to the back garden.
那么这个后面的这个门呢，就是直接是通向后花园的。
Inside the bedroom, there's also Prabhupada's bathroom.
那么在这个卧室里面呢，还有一个需要泡泡的洗手间。
But that's locked up for now.
但是现在呢是被锁起来了。
So let's go out this way.
那么让我们往前走。
If we all go out through the right here.
那么让我们往前往右手转出去。
Yeah, this will bring us into the prasadam room.
那么就带我们到了 prasadam 的房间。
So, Jai Srila Prabhupada.So everybody can squeeze in as much as possible.
所以每个人都可以尽量过来靠得近一点，尽量靠近。
Yeah, come on.
你进来。
Then you can.
放心。
All right, that's good.
这样就可以了。
Okay, try and get in there somewhere. Okay, so this is the room where Prabhupada took prasadam.
Just
here you can see the seat and the table that he would eat from.
那么这里你们会看到他的这个座位和这个桌子，他会在这里荣耀。
And in Prabhupada's day, there were actually two of these seats, one on either side of the door.
那么在Prabhupada临驾的时候呢，其实有这样两个座位是在门的两边。
There's a picture here of Mother Yasoda, a painting.
在这里呢有一幅画是关于母亲耶稣达的。
She's got baby Krishna on her lap and she's feeding him prasadam.
那么她把婴儿的 Krishna 放在她的腿上，然后呢为她吃荣耀。
So that painting used to be on the other wall next to the door there.
那么这张画呢以前呢是放在这个门旁边的。
And I remember one morning Prabhupada had just finished his breakfast.
那么我记得有一天早上，当沙泡帕正荣耀完他的早餐的时候
，And he got up to walk out through that door across the passageway into his bedroom to go to the bathroom to wash.
那么他就站起来，然后呢，通过这道门呢，要去他的卧房，要去到他的洗手间去洗清洁。
And when he came to the door, he was looking at this painting.
那么因此呢，当他走过这道门的时候呢，他就看着这幅画像。
And he was looking at it very intently.
然后他看着这幅画呢，非常专注的。
And then he stopped and he stared at it for a few moments.
然后他就在那里瞪了一会儿。
And then he smiled very brightly.
然后他非常灿烂的微笑。
And he said, "Yaso Mati Nandana."
他说 ，Yaso Mati Nandana.
Yeah, this is Krishna and Mother Yasoda.
那么这就是 Krishna 和母亲Yasoda。
So he was appreciating Mother Yasoda feeding baby Krishna.
那么他非常的欣赏母亲Yasoda喂 Krishna。
This painting here with Krishna and the cowherd boys taking prasadam, this was used for the very first Hare Krishna cookbook.
那么
cover.
在这里呢，这 Krishna 和他的牧牛童朋友正在荣耀 prasadam。那么这是在我们的烹调的书呢，是第一本烹调书上的封面。
Now it's got a bit of damage. It needs to be fixed up.
那么在这里呢，有一些损坏，我们需要来修理一下。
Now in this case here, this Prabhupada's original one of his chatters.
那么在这个柜子里面的是需要 Prabhupada 原初用的 chatter。
And in the middle, you can see Prabhupada's japa beads.
那么在中间，你们可以看到需要 Prabhupada 的 japa mala.
I don't know when Prabhupada got those beads, but he had them as long as I can understand, at least.
那么我不知道需要 Prabhupada 是什么时候得到这串念珠，但是据我所知的时候，他却有这串念珠了。
There's a pair of Prabhupada spectacles.
那么，这是需要 Prabhupada 的 spectacles 的眼镜。
There's on the second shelf. There's a Sony tape recorder.
那么在中间呢是需要帕帕的索尼的录音机。
That was used from about March or April of 77 up until the end.
那么是在77年的时候的三月四月的时候一直用到最后的时机。
There's some letterhead from the League of Devotees.
那么是有一些信纸，然后是用被奉献者用的。
Now there's the books there. I think that these are the Sanskrit editions or Bengali editions of the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada would refer to when he was translating.
那么这里面的是一些博加瓦坛的孟加拉语或者其他的语言，当舍帕帕翻译博加瓦坛的时候，他用来做参考的。
Oh well, the middle one here that looks like it's a Bengali version by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
那么这中间那本呢是是 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 写的一个孟加拉文的版本。
The other orange book is actually Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. I just looked.
那么另外一个this one or
that one.
那么这当中后面的那本呢是薛帕帕的写的。
There's an English dictionary that Prabhupada carried around all over, so he could refer to that.
那么另外一本蓝色的是词典，薛帕帕带着他周游全世界。
And underneath this orange cloth that you can't see,
那么在这
is Prabhupada's dictaphone.
那么在这橘黄色的布片下面呢，是你们看不到的，是薛帕帕的录音机。
Yeah. Then on the bottom.There's a marble plate and some marble cups.
那么在底下呢是一些大理石的碗和大理石的杯子。
We used to serve Prabhupada's meals on that.
那么我们以前曾经呢就是用这个来服务Srila Prabhupada的用餐的。
And in 76 there were some banana trees growing in the back garden.
那么在76年的时候呢在后院里面有一些香蕉树。
So Prabhupada told us you cut the banana leaves up.And let me eat from the leaves.
然后呢，帕帕就告诉我们说，把香蕉叶切下来，然后呢，就用它来用香蕉叶来服务用餐。
So we would serve him his lunch using this marble plate with a banana leaf on top, and then the prasadam on the banana leaf.
然后呢，我们就会用这套餐具呢，然后把这些菜呢，就放在那个香蕉叶上。
Then there's, here there's a, like a brass cylinder with three sections. That's a cooker, pressure cooker.
那么我们会看到的这里是铜的这样有三层的，其实是一个高压锅。
So we would cook dal in the bottom.
那么我们会在底下呢会来做豆汤。
Then there's holes, the steam would come up, there would be rice in the middle.
然后呢 在中间的那层呢它是会有洞的然后上来呢就是蒸米饭
And then more holes steam would go further up and then there would be vegetables in the top
然后呢再上去一层呢也是有很多洞的然后呢在最上面一层放的是蔬菜
So you could make a whole meal just with that one little cooker
因此呢你可以整一顿饭呢就是用这样一套用具来把它完成
I mentioned that Prabhupada liked to bathe from buckets
那么我刚才提到说，薛帕帕喜欢用桶来沐浴。
So there's one of the buckets.
那么这就是他用的其中一个桶。
Brass bucket.
是铜的。
And we would polish that very nicely every day.
那么我每天呢都会非常好的来抛光。
Yeah. Now in this corner, you can see there's a Murti of Prabhupada sitting on like a what looks like a rocking chair.
那么在这里呢，我们会看到有薛帕帕的这处塑像，然后呢，他坐在好像是摇椅上面。
If you look at the bottom, you'll see that the rockers, there's some handles on the ends.
那么你们会，如果你们看下面的话呢，你们会看到说，在这个底端的顶部呢，有一个有一些手柄。
And we were carrying Prabhupada, in that rocking chair.
那么因此呢我们会把这个是需要泡泡呢我们会这样提起这个椅子来当他坐在上面的时候
Then over here on the side next to the window there's a palanquin
那么在这个窗旁边呢是这样是轿子
Go through
Yeah
So this was used in the last few months for carrying Prabhupada on parikrama around the temple.
那么因此呢，就是在最后的几个月当中呢，载着Srila Prabhupada来到这个庙宇当中的。
Prabhupada was sitting there. Then you put poles through. Let's see, where did the poles go? Through here. underneath these poles, bamboo poles. And go through there. Yeah. And then we would carry Prabhupada around. He would have darshan by sitting in there and looking through.
然后呢，我们就用这个竹竿子把舒尔帕帕这个轿子提起来，然后舒尔帕帕就可以通过坐在里面，能够得到搭赏。Yes.
Oh, okay. That painting there of Prabhupada in Moscow is a new edition that was not there when Prabhupada was here.
那么，这幅画面呢是舒尔帕帕在莫斯科，这是当舒尔帕帕在的时候呢是没有这幅画的，这是一个新版本。Okay,
we've got to hurry because you've all got to take prasadam. Let's go out into the back garden.
Yeah.
I have to hurry because it's getting late. Yeah. So this is Prabhupada's back garden. It's been changed since Prabhupada was here.
那么，自从就是说，这和薛帕帕当时在的时候是不一样了。
Yeah, this fountain that was there, that was put in the summer of 76.
那么，这个喷泉呢，是在76年的时候建造好的。
It has a nozzle in the middle and a fountain comes.
那么，在这当中呢，会有水喷出来。
Yeah, and Prabhupada liked this fountain. He liked to come and sit here on this seat that we see at the back wall.
那么，薛帕很喜欢这个喷水池，然后呢，他喜欢坐在这个喷水池前面，就坐在这个椅子上。
We put some nice cotton seat there and some bolsters, and he would sit here. And put the fountain on and chant japa.
那么我们会在这个椅子上呢放非常好的棉的垫子，然后呢还放一些棉的这个圆的枕头，然后呢他就非常舒服的在这里念诵，然后这个喷泉在那里喷。And
he was taking his massage right here.
然后呢他就会在这个地方呢来做他的按摩。Just
in front of the seat, then I put a straw mat down and then give him his massage in the sunshine.
那么就在这个椅子前面呢，我会在地上铺一层草的垫子，然后他就会在这里，然后在阳光下面我给他做按摩。But
actually this area around the fountain was all grass.
那么当时呢，在这个喷泉的周围的全部是草的。And
there was a small brick path that went around the perimeter.
那么在这个前面呢，沿着这个周围呢是有砖块的这样的一个路径小径。Yeah,
now they've some years ago, one devotee got the idea of putting in this stone floor.
几年前的一个奉献者，他就有一个主意，就把这里用这些大的石块给铺满了。But
the fact is, Prabhupada didn't like this particular kind of stone.
但其实呢，说实话，Prabhupada不喜欢这些东西。
And he would certainly have objected to having his garden paved like a city. At the back in the corner here, there was a doorway that led into a small kitchen. That was Prabhupada's kitchen. Now it's a deity kitchen.
然后呢，现在呢就改成了神像的厨房。Like
I said, there used to be lots of banana trees growing around.
那么就像我们说到的，以前呢，在这里有很多的香蕉树种在旁边。And
there were a lot of tulsi trees that were growing down here in this area here. That doorway didn't exist in Prabhupada's time.
当薛帕帕还在的时候呢，这个门是不在的。But
there's a stairway that you can see here. This is this. This stairway leads up onto the roof.
那么这里呢，这台阶呢就可以通向楼顶。So
every day, practically, when I was with Prabhupada, he would go up in the morning and then come down and then go up again in the afternoon.
那么当我和Prabhupada每天在一起的时候呢，薛帕每天早上都会上去下来，然后呢，在傍晚的时候也会上去下来。So
that's it. We've run out of time. You all have to take prasadam before they close.
那么。 这就是我们今天要做的介绍，因为我们没有足够的时间，你们要赶快赶去，他们要关门了。
I hope you've enjoyed hearing a little something. I hope it hasn't been boring.
希望你们会喜欢我做的介绍，希望你们不会觉得枯燥乏味。
Yeah, the more we know about Srila Prabhupada, the more advanced we'll become in Krishna consciousness.
那么我们越是对释迦牟尼佛了解的越多呢，我们就会越具有 Krishna 知觉。
Yeah, Prabhupada is the perfect example of a Krishna conscious person.
那么 Prabhupada 是 Krishna 知觉啊、知觉这个人物的一个代表，完美的代表、
yeah.
完美的展现。
And if you study his life, you'll know everything you need to know for going back home, back to Godhead.
如果你去学习他的一生的这个事迹呢，那么你会就会知道怎么样回归神首，怎么样。
Yeah. Therefore, I was saying earlier, Prabhupada is the living Bhagavatam.
因此，在我就像我先前说到的，说Prabhupada就是活生生的佛加瓦坛。
So I hope I get an opportunity to talk more about Prabhupada to you at some point in the future.
那么希望呢，在将来呢，我能够有机会再一次的向你们讲述关于Prabhupada的事迹，能够讲更多。
Yeah. So either you come here or I'll go there.
不管是你们在你们来这里，或者我去那里，都是可以。
Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Jai.